Good afternoon again. This is Vern with the Fitz Group, and welcome to the Monday afternoon new agents training call. You don't have to be a new agent to be on this call. It's open to anyone. We just call it new agents because that's primarily what we concentrate on, is how to help get new agents started going with the basics and other things associated with that. The fact that you've tuned into this call tells us that you are A, teachable, and also, two, you're wanting to learn and wanting to improve so that you can go out there and improve your productivity, of course, and make more money. A couple of housekeeping rules, if I may use that term before we get going. One, if you have questions during the presentation or during the call today, it's not a presentation, during the call today, I would suggest you can email them to me if you have access to email at your fingertips. My email address is vern@thefitzgrouponline.com. That's a real long address, but that'll get it to me, and I'll try to answer those questions as we go on throughout the day, throughout the call. Also, if you haven't already done so, please mute your phone. If your phone has mute capabilities on it, then go ahead and do it. Do it now. And if you don't have the mute capability, if you do a *6, that will mute your phone out. That way then we will not hear any background noise. And believe me, we've heard a lot of them. People flushing toilets, dogs barking, kids screaming, ordering food and things like that, and it gets a little distracting and actually annoying when you're trying to talk to someone or answer somebody's question and all you hear some other noise in the background. That's a simple process. Now, if you do want to ask a question, you can do so by unmuting, and that's just reversing the process, do another *6. I will probably mute most of you out anyway, just because invariably there's always someone who doesn't get the message, and so they will leave their phone open, and it's kind of embarrassing to hear them talking about, oh, they're just having another meeting or another conference call, and they're talking to somebody in the background about what we're talking about. So anyway, I'm probably going to do that anyway. So, and so from an agenda perspective, what I'm going to talk about, my topic today, is really, it's a checklist, if you will. We've had a lot of people, not a lot, but we had several new agents that have called in that says, okay, Vern, or Bruno, whoever it is that happens to be that they're talking to at the time, I've made my phone calls, I've gotten some appointments, and I'm ready to go out on my appointment. Now, what do I need to take with me? And so I thought this would be a good opportunity to just kind of go over a checklist, if you will, the things that you need to have with you and the things that it's always good to have with you just in case type. And then at the end of this checklist call that we have here, I'm going to try to open it up to questions and answers and to see how everybody's doing, this week or since they've joined us and any maybe issues or questions they may have regarding such. So having said that, I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone out now. Okay, I want to, if you had the opportunity last week to be on the call, you might have listened to and heard Jason Bruno, who is our other new agent mentor, here talk about listening to, if you hadn't already done so, to listen to it again, the MP3 that he downloaded, and it was run from Casey Watkins on the psychology of the sale. And really it talked about, in all actuality, it really dealt more with making the phone call and counting the number of calls you made and keeping track of that so that therefore, if you do have run into, maybe you're having troubles with the phone call or you just need some help with it, and you contact your manager or your upline, whoever that happens to be, and that person happens, the first question they're going to ask is, how many phone calls have you made? And you don't really know how many that is because you really haven't kept track of it. It's important just to kind of reiterate and go back and reinforce what he's talking about there is it's always good to keep track of every one of your calls because therefore, when you do run in and you call up and you say, hey, I'm having some trouble here, and we ask how many phone calls you made, and you say, well, I made one this week, well, it's pretty obvious that the problem may not be in the fact that the person's not home, it's just that you haven't made enough phone calls, you haven't caught them at a good time, or you haven't caught them at all. So I just want to reiterate that is to keep track of your calls and let us know if you're having those types of problems, because we can help you, but we can't help you if you're not able to keep track of them yourself. Okay, checklist. You do call up, and we do get the calls, like I said. And here's the thing. Now what do I do? All right, I made my calls. I've gotten hold of these folks, and I've gotten hold of two or three people. I've made appointments with them, which is congratulations. That's great. And the next question you normally have coming out of your mouth is, all right, now what do I do? I mean, I'm learning, I'm listening, I'm following the steps, and so I've gotten through the first step of making a phone call. Now there's some things there I may need to I need to be aware of, or is there things I need to make sure that I carry out to the home with me, and so forth and so forth. So I said, well, you know what? Let me give them a checklist of what I go through every time that I go out on an appointment, so that way, whether or not what I carry, what I don't carry with me, not that that's any more important or less important, it's just that these are the things that I've learned as I've gone along. These are the things that I always carry with me, so that in case something does come up or a specific situation there where I need an additional form, I've got them with me. Okay? Well, the very first thing, and I'm going back to the phone call situation here, the very first thing I always do is I always carry all my leads with me. If I'm working in a specific area, and whether I'm out of town or where I'm running local appointments or not, I'm going to carry all my leads with me. And one of the reasons I do that is that if I've got two or three appointments set for that day, and there may be an hour or two in between them just because that's the way they happen to be schedule, or I may show up, if I do show up at the house, and guess what, it's a no-show, and goodness gracious, that does happen, so be prepared for that, and if you aren't able to lock them down or schedule them accordingly on the phone where they, you know, you almost guarantee they're going to be there, which is hard to do, people are people, and so they may or may not be there, most times they will be, but then sometimes they won't be there. The point is this, is that if you do have those extra leads with you, then there's nothing said, and you have the leads there that you call them and call them and call them, and you call them at different times, you call them at different hours, different days, different whatever it is, and you just haven't been able to reach them, then the first thing I do then is I've got some time. Guess what? I plug in my GPS, which I have a GPS. Whether or not you need one or have one is entirely up to you. It's just that that's an extra tool I found, especially when I'm traveling and or going out of town, areas that I'm not familiar with, of course, then it just makes it much simpler for me to get to where I need to be. And or if I have an unexpected appointment that's scheduled for me there that I wasn't aware of, let me go back. See, I also have an appointment setter that is scheduling appointments for me while I'm actively out running appointments, and so she may call me up and said, Vern, I just scheduled you a 2:30 appointment today, and it's with so-and-so, and because I have those leads with me, then I know all I've got to do is pull that lead out of my pile, if you will, and then plug in that address, and I can run over there and get to that appointment on a pretty quick time period. But if I don't have an appointment set up, but I have that lead with me, then all I got to do is plug in that address, and I'll drive by and knock on that person's door. So it's always good to have those leads with you at any time, every time you go out, because therefore when you have idle time, if you will, and that no-show, the one that you just really were counting on because you set the appointment with and found out that person wasn't there, or they may have called up and canceled at the last minute or something, then you've got those leads that you can run and you can knock on doors. And the process I use is simply this, is this: knock on the door, assuming someone answers, of course, and I just tell them, hi, I'm Vern with the Mortgage Protection Group. I just pull out that lead that they've got, that the ones they mailed in. I just hold it up to them. I says, I have this. You mailed it in. I've tried to reach you on the phone. Wasn't able to get a hold of anyone. So, and I was just in the neighborhood helping some other folks. Thought I'd just drive by and see if there's something I could do to help you. And that's about all I say. And they look at it and they say, yeah, I remember mailing that in. And I says, I understand. I says, great. I says, I'm here now. If you've got some time, I'll be glad to sit down with you and discuss it with you. Or they may come back and say, well, now's not a good time, or my husband's not home, or my wife's not home, and so forth. And I'll basically say is, okay, when would be a good time? I can schedule you some time. I've got some time availability later on today, or perhaps tomorrow, because I'm usually in town over the weekend type situation. But do your best to schedule an appointment with them. At least they're aware now who you are. And therefore, and they may not have a phone number on there. A lot of times, we'll get leads in that that are considered to be what they say no charge, simply because they haven't put a phone number on it. So I say I can't reach you. The only way I was able to reach you is your phone number, and since there's none on there, I decided to drive by and see if there's something I can do to help you with. And if they tell me it's not a good time, then I'll basically say, okay, now if I don't have your number, if you don't mind giving me a number, then I'll call you. And when maybe we can schedule a better time down the road. And they're usually pretty helpful doing that, too. So most times, if you're trying to reach folks on the phone and you can't get a hold of them, don't blame it on the fact that they're trying to avoid you. They don't know who you are, all right? You just haven't been able to reach them at a time that they're home. So don't be afraid to drive up and knock on a door. We call them drive-bys, but I know in certain parts of the country that may be not a good analogy to use, drive-bys, because it means different things to different areas of the country. But that's a good thing to carry with you anytime, is your leads. Take the extra ones. Take all the ones you've got, and so forth. Okay. Well, if you're getting ready to go to your appointment, all right, and you've made the appointment, I would suggest if you question their health, or if you haven't questioned your health, the one thing I want to make sure you carry with you is the phone number of Fidelity and Guarantee Life's underwriting department. All right, and if you don't already have that, and it should be, and you should have that with, because it's in your good to know numbers that we provided for you. It is, if you don't have it, I'm going to give it to you right now. So if you got a pen and a paper, write it down, because it's important that you be able to reach them, and here's why. Let's say you've made the appointment, and you've asked them, and are you dealing with any medical issues, or are you on any medications, all right? I would suggest that you ask them, don't just ask them if you are on any medications, and leave it at that. And the reason why is because my appointment setter was asking that question, and she got a response here a couple of weeks ago from a guy that said, no, he's not on any medications. Actually, his assistant told her that. So she put it down, and I showed up at the door, and the gentleman was not on any medications, but he was also was in advanced stages of Lou Gehrig's disease. So needless to say, he was not untruthful. His assistant was not untruthful because he wasn't on medication, but because we did not ask go further into detail as to his medical situation, I pretty well wasn't. Fortunately, I'm licensed or I'm appointed to Presidential, which is one of our high-risk companies. You're not that way, and you may not be appointed with any other companies at this point. Here's my point is that when you're making the appointment, it's always good to find out their medical situation. You know, I always ask them, are you experiencing any major medical challenges, such as cancer, heart disease, diabetes, high-low blood pressure, or cholesterol? If they answer yes to any one of those things, then it's going to give you a better idea of which direction you need to go. And I may tell them that. And therefore, what that means then is that when you get off the phone, that doesn't mean you can't help them, can't continue to help them. You just don't know whether or not you'll be able to offer them the Home Certain product because you don't have enough experience yet into knowing which medical situations are going to be an accept versus which ones are going to be a reject with the simplified issue that Home Certain offers, okay? So if you've got that 800 number, I've first thing you might want to do, and we've always said, call us here, but the first thing we're probably going to tell you to do then after you call us is call F&G Underwriting. And if you call underwriting and then you want to get a risk assessment for that particular client, the number for F&G's underwriting department is 1-866-484-8140. So you would call them up, tell them who you are, give them your you probably have to go through a prompt. I don't think there's any prompts for that. I think that's directly into their underwriting. But if they have an underwriter available, just ask them. Just tell them who you are. You need to get a risk assessment. They'll ask you your NAA number. You give them that, and then they'll patch you through to the underwriter. If the underwriter is not available, you get their voicemail. Just leave a message. You want to give them this information. You basically say, "Hi, this is Vern with the NAA." Of course, you're not Vern, but this is Vern with NAA. My NAA number is such and such. I need a risk assessment. I'm going to be meeting with a 58-year-old male. Height and weight. Give them the height and weight, and give them the medical situation that you just found out about on the phone. Dealing with some heart issue, dealing with this, dealing with that, or whatever it is. As much information as you can get from the client, give to them. And you just need a risk assessment as to what product that F&G can offer them, if any. And they will then call you back. If they're not available immediately, they'll call you back, and they're pretty prompt about calling you back. But if they're available immediately, that person will come back to you and tell you that, well, you can't offer them at Home Certain. They might be able to offer them Saver Select because that'll give them an opportunity to pull their medical records, or they may come back and say, we don't have anything to offer them for any of the F&G products. But at any rate, then, you got a better idea, better route to go, whether or not you can go out there and you obviously, if you already know that they can't offer them Home Certain, but they may be able to offer them Saver Select, then you know that when you get there, then you just really can't promote the non-physical aspect of it because they would reject them under the simplified issue. So always carry that information with you. Carry that because you're out there and you need to get hold of them right away. You can do that. Okay. Or you can find out that information before you go out there so that you're better prepared. And when you do meet with them, your credibility is better because you've already told them, I've already checked with our underwriting department. And unfortunately, because of your medical situation, we can't offer this to you without a physical. Because that first paragraph, if you may recall on the lead sheet, states you may qualify without a medical physical or without a physical, I think is what it says. And so basically what you're doing then is your credibility is better. It shows them that you're there to help them trying to find something, and you're not just filling out an application and then coming back later and saying, oh, sorry, but we had to reject you. But now then they may show up on the reject list somewhere down the road if they reapplied somewhere else. All right, so always carry that with you. Carry your leads and take all the leads with you so you can do the drive-bys. I think we pretty well covered that area. All right. Well, naturally, your checklist then is now then you're ready to go. Now what do I take? Well, obviously, you want to take your applications. Take two applications per appointment. All right, I always carry extra applications with me just in case I mess up on one and so forth, but minimally carry two applications, even though they may have sent in the lead and it may only have one bar on there. I mean, if it's husband and wife or a significant other, then there's always opportunity there that you can write additional business on them. I always ask them, is there someone else here that we need to make sure we protect? And they say, well, yeah, my wife. And I said, okay, great. Let's make sure that you're both are there. Well, she's not on the loan. Doesn't matter. If she's there helping you provide financial support for this mortgage, then obviously we need to make sure she's protected also. That's why we always make sure both of them are there. So carry two applications, at minimally two applications with you. Now make sure those applications are specific to the state that you are writing business in. And here I'm gonna go back a minute and tell you that everything I'm telling you is based upon experience. And the reason I say that is invariably if I'm in multiple states and I have to make sure I've got the right app for the right state. So before I go out to a different state, the first thing I do is make sure that application is not state-specific, because most of them are. So I'll go out on, and I'll give you the instructions for going out online and how to order them. But everything that I'm telling you is part of this checklist, with exception of the leads, of course. But everything that I'm telling you, you've been provided by way of the download, the new agent download that we offer you. Download 1, download 2, download 3. That's the second link there that you get. The first one is the training, and then once you complete your training, we tell you to email us back with a reply saying, well, I've completed the training, and now I'm ready to get leads, and here are the counties in which I need the leads in. And then when you send that back to us, then that triggers what Bruno does then is send you the next step or the next email that says, now download this, click on this link, and it's going to allow you to download your software. It's going to additional training. And then the third download, it says, it's going to say download 3, is going to be a copy of the application for your specific state and also all the additional forms that you're going to need. Okay? Now, whether or not you need them each and every time you go out, not necessarily, but it's always good to have them with you. All right? So once, first of all, is the application. Make sure you have them. Make sure they are specific for your state. Now, there's no particular order on any of this stuff I'm telling you. I just wrote it down based upon what I make sure I carry with me, all right? HIPAA forms. That is, the HIPAA form is the one that client signs that gives F&G permission to pull their medical records. Now, if you're the HIPAA form and the correspondent HIV consent form are not required if you are selling, if you will, the HomeCertain product. All right. However, please get into the habit of carrying one each, in other words, two per household, two HIPAA forms, two HIV consent form, and make sure the HIV consent form is specific to that state again. Then, if you get in the habit of carrying those with you and having those sign them, even though they don't require a physical, if for some reason or other F&G comes back and said they declined this person based upon the information on the application, you can call them up again and do just like you did before, do a risk assessment or call up underwriting and tell them, you know, I just got notified that this client was rejected on the HomeCertain. Could we reevaluate that and perhaps offer them the same coverage under the Saver Select product? And they may come back and say, well, yeah, we do. The only reason we declined him under the HomeCertain is because we don't have enough information there and we don't pull the records when it's a HomeCertain. All they do is check the Medical Information Bureau. Therefore, if you've already got those two signed when you did the HomeCertain one, then all you do is you can contact client back and says, well, unfortunately they declined you because they didn't have enough information. If you're willing to take a physical, then you stand a better chance of getting it approved. And since you've already had those signed to HIV, all you have to do is go back and recalculate what that would be under the Saver Select, offer that to the client, if you will. Here's how much it would be if you took a physical based upon whatever rating that F&G may have given you. But then all you got to do is redo page 2. So you don't have to go back and get all these forms re-signed. You've already gotten them signed. So the HIPAA form and the HIV consent form is a required form if, in fact, you do wind up going with Saver Select and or Value Select, the two fully underwritten products that F&G offers as part of their term products. Okay? So far, you've got the applications, two of those. You got the HIPAA forms, two of those. HIV consent, two of those. And if you are in Texas, Montana, or New York, you must also have and get signed what they call the indeterminate premium disclosure form. You have one for HomeCertain. You have one for Saver Select. And one for Value Select. So whichever product there it is that you are selling, if you will, for those three states, you must also have each one of the clients that you're filling out the application for sign that respective indeterminate premium disclosure form. Where there's one for Home Certain, there's one for Saver Select, and there's one for Value Select. It says right at the very top, it says, it'll say Texas, and then it's going to say Home Certain, indeterminate premium disclosure. So that has to be part of it. That's not necessarily an F&G requirement. It's a state requirement. So if you don't have that, then F&G is going to put everything in pending until they get that. Now you got to go back to the client and have them sign it. So it's always good to make sure you've got those with you. Okay? Those are the required forms. Applications, HIPAA, HIV consent are required if, in fact, it's a Saver Select, it's always good, or Value Select. It's always good on the HIPAA, HIV, if it's a Home Certain, go ahead and have them sign it anyway. Okay? There are supplemental forms now that I also want to make sure I carry with me. I don't know, I may or may not know, based upon my question at the time of the telephone, when I made the appointment in the first place, and I asked him, are you dealing with any major medical issues? And they said, yeah, I'm dealing with high blood pressure, and I'm on medication for it, it's under control, and so forth. Then, or diabetes, or depression, or something like that, then I know that I need to make sure that I carry my supplemental forms with me, and two each again, and so what I'll carry with me in kind of, when I go out into the house, I have my little carry bag that's got my laptop in it. It's just the shoulder bag that I carry my laptop in. Well, it also has a side pocket there that I carry all my supplemental forms. I may not have them with my applications because I may not need them, but they're there in case I get out there and find out that he truly is dealing with some high blood pressure, but he forgot to tell me that on the phone. And all I got to do is reach down and pull that supplemental form out and say, okay, now I need to ask you some additional questions here regarding high blood pressure or hypertension. If I don't ask them, then the company here that does the underwriting, they're going to ask the questions, and we might as well get them answered right now. So these are what I categorize as the supplemental forms. All right, your hypertension, diabetes, depression/anxiety. I think the form that particular form is labeled mental nervous disorders, but it's depression, anxiety, asthma, arthritis, those types of supplemental forms. Okay, now if you're doing Home Certain and you are getting to page 6 of the application, by the way, it's one application for all the products that F&G offers. That makes it simple. You don't have to worry about, is it a blue one, a yellow one, or a green application. It's all the same application, all right? But on page 6, when you start asking that client those medical questions, and they say, the very first one says, high blood pressure, heart, all those types of issues. If it's high blood pressure, then that's when you know you've got to pull out that hypertension supplemental form. Even though it's a Home Certain simplified issue, if you do not include that, we're not going to submit it till we call you up and say, where is it? And then you got to go back and get those questions answered. Now, the thing is you can call them up on the phone if you have to, because none of these forms, the ones that we offer that are part of that download 3, they're all more or less Word documents. All we did was take the questions out of the underwriting guidebook and incorporate them on separate supplemental pages, if you will, in Word format. And so all you've got to do is print them off and carry extra copies with you. They do not have to be signed if you're using those supplemental ones that we offer. If you take and download the diabetes one from F&G's website, it has to be signed. So it's always better just to use ours. They will accept that, and it saves you from having to sign it. Get it signed, and if you forgot to get it filled out and you submit the application into us, we're going to note that it's dealing with high blood pressure, whereas a supplemental form, and you will be getting a phone call or an email from Melissa saying, we need that. So minimally, you're able to at least call them back up and say, I apologize, I forgot to get this information, and you can ask them questions over the phone, just record it on there, fax it into us, so it doesn't have to be signed. But always carry those with you. I carry 4 or 5 extra ones in my side pocket of my bag, if you will. The hypertension, the diabetes, depression / anxiety, the asthma, arthritis. Because all those questions are in fact questions, specific questions on the application. And you better have the hypertension, diabetes, depression when completed and submitted with the app, we're going to require you to get it filled out and send it back into us. Asthma and arthritis, it's good to have them filled out. We have supplemental forms for it. That's not as, if you answer yes to arthritis and indicate rheumatoid or osteo, then you better have the supplemental form. Because all that does is allow more information for you provided to F&G, and it stands a better chance of them approving it rather than rejecting it because they do not have enough information. Now, some additional forms that it's always good to carry with you is the Admin 5207. If you don't know what that one is, the Admin 5207 is simply it's the bank draft authorization form. Okay? When you're completing the application and you get to that last page and they have a bank draft that they want to set it up on a monthly bank draft, and they've got a voided check, and they give you the voided check, and you haven't signed that last page, then the 5207 is not needed, okay? But if they only have a savings account, and or they have a checking account, but it's a new checking account, and all they have is counter checks, if you will, the ones that do not have the name and the address of the policy or account holder on it, F&G will not accept that as a bank draft, to authorize a bank draft. So you have to complete the 5207. So carry 2 or 3 of those with you, 4 or 5 of them, matter of fact. If you are completing the application and you've offered them, if you will, the critical illness rider and or the children's term rider, and you are completing the application, it notes on there on page 2 that supplemental form is required, or illustration, or whatever it's called. So carry 2 or 3, 4 or 5 of the critical illness rider questionnaire and the children's term rider, because if they select that, then you have to complete those and they have to be signed. All right. So if they ask for it and you offer it to them, and you do not have those 2 forms, you will have to go back and get them signed those, because F&G won't accept anything other than the signed version of it. Okay? And the only other, not as the only other, but one other one that I carry with me is that invariably you have clients that are past the age of 70, and some of you even call up and say, what do I do? I can't help this person. They're over the age of 70. And Bruno and I invariably will tell you that's not true. You can help them because F&G offers the SecureMaster, which is a simplified issue, but it's a UL product for your senior citizens over the age of 70, and or WealthMaster. And, of course, you have the Master Choice Equity Index UL, which is also a UL. But all of those require either the illustration to be signed, which is what you would print off of your system, but since you don't know at that point in time whether or not you are going to be even offering that or they accepting it, then it's always good to carry what they call the Life Insurance Illustration Certification. That is required. They need to sign that. They need to either sign that or the illustration. You can have them sign that in lieu of the illustration, but it's required if you're offering and writing up any SecureMaster, WealthMaster, or the Master Choice Equity Index UL products. Okay? So always good to have that. Okay. Now here's your checklist. Let's recap. Your applications, your HIPAA form, HIV consent form, the indeterminate premium disclosure forms if you're in Texas, Montana, or New York, your supplemental forms, the hypertension, the diabetes, the depression, anxiety, asthma, arthritis, the Admin 5207, the critical illness rider questionnaire, and the children term rider questionnaire, the life insurance illustration certificate if it's a SecureMaster, WealthMaster, or Master Choice Equity Index UL. Okay. Why, how I carry that is simply this, is the applications. I have the green folder. You probably heard me talk about it, and you may have heard about it and seen it and or have gotten ones yourself. I carry everything. I carry the application, the two applications, the HIV, the HIPAA form, in a green folder. It's, you can get it off the F&G sales link. Number for it is ADLF, A as in apple, D as in dog, L as in life, F as in Frank, 3968. I found, and I guess I equate everything to how I would want to, you know, if someone was coming out to see me and left with a check from me, but I didn't get anything back from them other than a receipt, then I would think that, wonder what's going on here. So I always like to leave them the folder. The folder that includes, in that folder then, would be the receipts for the two apps, but also the a couple of other brochures, if you will, that I include in the folder. One is the Home Certain Coverage Overview, which is it's optional, of course. And the letters for that is form number is ADLF-2828, and also the Financial Integrity form, which is it talks about the financial integrity of F&G and its parent company, which is Old Mutual Financial Network. And the form number for the financial integrity form is ADLF-5049. So when I walk in the house, I'm carrying this bag with my laptop, which I guess that's a good checklist item, is your laptop. Of course, if you don't have a laptop and you're doing the option sheet, you got to do that up ahead of time, so you're going to have the option sheet with you also. Or even if you got if laptop and you want to use the option sheet, that's entirely up to you, but I don't use an option sheet, but at any rate, if you've got the option sheet, naturally you're going to have that with you. So what I'm going to have is the green folder. I walk in with the bag, and inside the bag, of course, is my laptop. This green folder that includes those two apps, the two HIPAA forms, the two HIV consent forms, and those two indeterminate premium disclosure if I happen to be in Texas. And then also this Home Certain Coverage Overview brochure and the Financial Integrity brochure. I have that in the same side as my laptop. The additional supplemental forms, if you will, like I said, is in my left-hand side. Even if it's not in the left-hand side, even if you only got one folder or a briefcase or a computer bag and that's all it came, I keep all of those in another, like a manila folder, where they're all together so that they're not this loose in my bag, but they're also separated from what the green folder is. So I wouldn't pull them out unless I needed to. I do not pull my green folder out until after I've sat there and talked to them a little bit about what mortgage protection does for them. And I pull the folder out when it gets to the point where we're ready to start writing the applications. Now, some people do it differently. You can pull it out ahead of time. That's entirely up to you. But I just keep everything in that green folder. All right? You can order all this stuff off of the web, off of the sales link. But it's always good to carry it in because then when I'm done completing the application, of course, and they've signed everything and they've given me a check, then I'm going to tear out the receipt that's the back part of the application for each one of them. And inside the right, when you open up the folder, if you will, if you're looking at the folder that I present, the right side of the folder, as you're looking at it, is going to where the two apps were. And on the left-hand side is where I'm going to have the financial integrity, the Home Certain brochure, the HIPAA forms, and all the HIV consent, and, of course, the indeterminate premium disclosure. Okay. When I'm done completing the app and having them sign all of the app and the HIPAA form, the HIV, and the indeterminate, of course, I'm going to take that with me. So I pull all that out. The only thing left in that folder now is the Home Certain brochure and the financial integrity on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side there, if you're familiar with the folder, when you open it up, it's green on the outside, but on the inside, it's just white. It's just plain. I will write on the inside folder there what it is that they've just purchased, if you will. I'll just say death equals 100,000 level benefit. And then I'll put plus 50%, or in this case 50,000 if I'm using 100,000 as example. Accidental death, free. Plus unemployment, if it's offered in that state, I'll put 6 months premiums waived, free. Then I'll put whatever riders that they may have chosen, whether or not it's a critical illness or the disability or the return of premium or the extended premium guarantee, all of those things I'll include as a plus. In other words, what it is, how much it is, if it's a if it's a disability income rider, then I'll put equals 500 a month times 2 years, whatever the amount is that they've opted for. Same thing with critical illness. Now I'll just draw a line underneath all of that and then put down what their monthly premium is. And the reason why I do that, I tell them that why I'm doing that, is A, I'm not able to print any of this off for you, but also, two, is most people, all they remember as soon as I walk out the door is that they wrote me a check. I want you to know this is what it is that you've got, so that when the next person comes along here, calls you up and says, I can do better than that, you tell them, if you can do better than what Vern has indicated on here for this price, then I want to know that too, because then I want to go to work for them. Because I know for a fact that I can offer them the best value for the best price of any product on the market. F&G offers the best mortgage protection product there is. And so I'll just write that on there, and then I'll include, of course, my business card. That's got the little slots for it. But if you don't have business cards, then just leave your phone, your name and your phone number right below where you wrote all the rest of the stuff. But that's my checklist. Okay? So carry all your leads with you so that you can do drive-bys. Carry extra applications. Carry extra forms of everything. But this, when you actually go into the house there, or in the working side of your bag, if you will, then just pull out that green folder with two applications, two HIPAA forms, all that stuff. Just the stuff that you're going to need for them to sign. Because you start having a bunch of other stuff now, then, and they see all of this, if they see that ahead of time, then they're concentrating on, like, for example, the brochure. If you pull that Home Certain overview brochure out first, and they start looking at it, they're not going to listen to a word you're saying. And you don't want them to be distracted from that. You want them to hear everything you're telling them. So I never leave anything or show them anything until we get to the point where I'm ready to fill out an application. All I do is turn the lead sheet over and write on the back of the lead sheet. Okay, so all they're doing is concentrating on what I'm telling them and what I'm writing on that piece of paper. They don't even see the application until I'm ready to start writing. I tell them I'm going to do an app. I tell them that in the very beginning. I said, this is what we're going to do today, all right? First of all, I'm verifying your health. I'm going to ask you some medical questions, okay? Then we're going to complete an application. And once I complete the application, we're going to submit it up to the company. They're going to come back with a response, yes or no. Okay? I'm going to get a check from you for whatever that monthly premium, that motor premium that we decide on today, whether it's monthly, quarterly, semi-annual, whatever. And we're going to include that with the application. But you're going to have that coverage soon walk out the door. They're already prepared for that. They're aware of that. They know that. And so, therefore, when I do talk about the product, I don't want them to be thinking about anything other than what it is that I came there to do today for them. And then when I quote them the price and I figured up on my laptop based on what it is they're specifically looking for, I ask them, why did you mail this in? What was your primary concern here? If they tell me I was just looking for a death benefit, something if I died that paid off the loan, then I will not discuss the disability income rider with them at all. I've learned that if I add things in there that they're really not looking for, that increases the prices, then it exceeds their budget, and they wind up with not doing anything, or they invariably get denied from disability because of their occupation, or maybe because of a medical situation, then it's other than applied for, and then you go back and ask them if they wouldn't allow this, and they say, well, I don't want anything then. So if they don't ask for it, I usually don't offer it, unless, of course, it's the return of premium. I will promote that because that's a great thing to get all the money back. But at any rate, what I do then is once I find that price then, and they tell me this is what it is they're looking for, and I say it's going to be this. How's that sound to you? And they say, sounds pretty good, or sounds more better than I thought it was, or whatever. First thing I do then is pull that folder out, and then I pull that application out, and then I tell them, I says, okay, this, all right, then, like I told you before, all I can do is fill out the app, so let's go ahead and complete the app now based on what you just told me here, and let's see what they say. And it usually works pretty good, all right? Works good for me. I won't say it works good for you because you're not me. But anyway, that's pretty much what that's a checklist. If you aren't familiar with the sales link, it's and how to order those supplies for you yourself. If you are have gotten onto the Fidelity and Guarantee Life sales link page, if you haven't been issued your NAA number, you can't do it yet. But if you've been assigned your NAA writing number, then have not gotten onto the sales link yet, or don't know how to order your own supplies yet, rather than me trying to explain that to you today, I think what you can do is you can just let me know, and or call me or Bruno or somebody, one of us here, and just say I need help getting onto that, and show me how to order my supplies. But everything you've got to need to get going, get you started with, is part of your download. So you shouldn't have any. You should be able to at least print off any or all of these supplemental forms or the application, and at least to get you started with. Okay. We still got a lot of people on the phone here, so I'm going to unmute the lines here and open it up for questions and answers. And please be considerate of other folks on there. If you don't have any questions, then keep your phone muted. Okay, I hear some noise in the background, whether somebody's got a question or they just haven't muted the phone. Anybody have any questions about what I talked about?
Hey, Vern.
Yes.
Good afternoon. How are you? It's William Neal.
Hey, William. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
All right. Hang in. I was checking out on the supplemental forms that I got from the when I got my kit regarding asthma. I couldn't find anyone there.
Okay.
Well, at least I didn't receive it. But there's breathing disorder, but it doesn't include asthma or the arthritis and things like that. But no, nothing for asthma.
All right. Okay. There should be one in there. I know I've got one extra one for asthma. It may have been something that I may have created on my own or taken out of the book itself. All right. Here. Okay. Everyone. Good question, William. Let me add to that a little bit. Everyone should have gotten, whether in a PDF format or mailed to you hard copy, what the F&G's underwriting guide. All right? Now, what we did was we just took those questions that's part of that underwriting guidebook and retyped them onto just a Word format. Okay? So, if you do not have a supplemental form, or maybe you ran out of them, which I've done before too, as prepared as I think I am, I get out there and realize that I didn't print off enough of them, or I used them all up and didn't print off any more of them. If you go back into that guidebook to those pages, and it usually starts back on around page 10 of the book, talks about cardiovascular problems, chest pains, angina, coronary bypass, hypertension, for example, diabetes, cancers, tumors, or cysts. That's another one that you want to make sure you have a supplemental form for, like tumors and cysts and everything else. Breathing and lung disorders, emphysema, COPD, those types of things. You should find one in there for each one of the situations, and all you got to do is what I've done is just ask those questions, and on the back of a sheet of paper somewhere along the line, I just wrote down question one, and then I didn't write down the whole question. Of course, I asked the person the question, and then more or less asked whatever their question, their answer was. I just wrote down that answer. And then when I got back to the house or back to the office then and was able to print out that extra form, then all I did was throw that information onto that form and include it with the application. So you can do that too. So it's always good to carry that book with you or that one with you. All right, so asthma one. I may have been, you know, I don't see it in here either, William. I'm wondering where it, there may not be a supplemental form for asthma. Just make sure.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of confused on that when you do it. But
okay. I don't see one either for asthma. So, you know, that's a question on there that they ask, so just make sure you define it as best as possible.
Correct, and the same application.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
We're not, none of us are immune to making mistakes. I thought for sure there was an asthma one in here. Oh, well, doesn't look like there is one. So that one there, you don't have to worry about keeping with you.
Right, okay. No problem, thanks.
You bet. Thanks for your question.
Uh-huh.
Anybody else? Remember that. You got to unmute your phone. Well, boy, I didn't realize I was so good at just covering everything that nobody has any questions. Either that, or you're so confused you don't even know what to ask. okay, instead of opening up to questions, I'll open up to general discussion. Has anybody got any questions on anything? Any problems that they've been experiencing this week, or any concerns, or anything they'd like to get clarified? Now it's a good opportunity to ask it. Maybe you're just afraid to ask it or what, but I assure you, if you've got a question, most other people have got the same question. So, and there is no silly question or stupid questions. We've got a few minutes left here. If you don't have any questions, then we'll go ahead and end it. Okay. Doesn't sound like we have any additional questions, so what we do is go ahead and close out for today. Keep in mind, folks, that we're still here, and feel free to go ahead and contact us with any concerns or issues. Bruno and I are talking, we're going to try to structure our training sessions each week to have a specific format each week or a specific topic each week. We may, you know, after about 6 weeks, we'll probably be repeating those topics, kind of like what Hudgens does when he has his Tuesday call. He runs it in like a six-week cycle. I don't know if it'll be 6 weeks for us, but also too is when Bruno sends out the email blast that talks about the training and when it is, a reminder, if you will, we're going to try to include in there what that topic is, so that way then you can be better prepared, or you'll be able to take questions, or may require you to be near a computer, because we're going to start here very shortly. We're going to be starting to train more and more on the Foresters product. You've probably been hearing a lot more about them. If you were in our sales meeting last week, or actually the meeting that we had here where Barry Clarkson came in and talked about it, also Darwin Hume from Foresters came in, they're really promoting that. It's a great product. They've now included the disability and these critical illness riders as part of the options for Foresters, which they didn't have before. It's only in limited states right now, but every week we add more and more states and includes that. It's a great product, and naturally, if you're brand new agents, we're still promoting and still want you to be more familiar with the Home Certain, because that's still a great product, and we're not overriding that any at all, and it's, you can still write that without, you know, requiring to have E&O insurance and things like that. So we're working out those details, but stay tuned for all that. That's going to be coming down the road here shortly. But primarily is just continue learning and promoting and going out and writing the business up with the Home Certain as much as possible, and the Saver Select if it absolutely cannot be a Home Certain. Then and go from there. Just we're here to help you, and we want you to succeed. So, just let us know if there's any concerns there that we can help you with. You guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you later. Take care.